Hey friends, welcome to the Leader System Podcast. It's your host, Jeremy Burrows, and this episode is a recording from one of our weekly Leader Assistant Zoom chats. We have these every Wednesday afternoon at 2 p.m. Pacific Time, 4 p.m. Central Time, and in this one, we had a special guest join us to chat all things language models, natural language processing, automation, and ChatGPT. So I hope you enjoy this conversation I had with Naomi White. And if you want to join us for a future Leader Assistant Zoom chat, just join our community for free at leaderassistant.com/community and then click on weekly Zoom chats on the left navigation bar, and you can join us on Wednesdays.
The Leader Assistant Podcast exists to encourage and challenge assistants to become confident, game-changing leader assistants.
With so much on your plate, wouldn't it be nice if ordering food for the office were easy and reliable? My friends at Easy Cater are workplace catering pros, helping you find food for everything from daily employee meals to staff meetings and special events. With Easy Cater's network of over 100,000 restaurants nationwide, you'll have a huge variety of options near you for any group size, dietary need, or budget. Your food arrives on time, as ordered, all supported 24/7 by Easy Cater's team of experts. Visit easycater.com/leaderassistant to find out more. All right, welcome to the Leader Assistant Zoom chat. And today is a very special conversation we're going to have with Naomi White. Naomi is a senior executive assistant at a company called Cohere. And Cohere is a provider of cutting-edge natural language processing models that are solving all kinds of language problems, including text summarization, composition, classification, and more. If it sounds familiar, that's probably because it is familiar with the hot topic of ChatGPT these days. But Naomi has spent the majority of her career in the technology sector with a passion for artificial intelligence. Prior to Cohere, Naomi was at DeepMind, which was a London-based artificial intelligence research company owned by Alphabet/Google. You've probably heard of DeepMind if you've done any sort of research on AI and all that. And then a primary focus of Naomi's is to learn and grow, mentoring others who share similar passions and curiosities about making work, life, and the world a better and more equitable experience for everyone. Naomi and I connected, I believe through LinkedIn, initially, but this is our first time actually meeting each other. So I'm excited to chat with her all about ChatGPT, and she's going to share her screen and walk through a little bit. But welcome, Naomi. Thanks for being here.
Awesome. Thanks so much, Jerry.
And tell us what time of day is it? Because you're like on the other side of the world and it's pretty late, right?
Technically, I feel like I'm on Eastern time most of the time. My company is a Canadian company, but I'm based in the UK and it's 10 p.m. here. So it's bedtime for me after this.
Fair enough. Thanks for doing this at your bedtime.
Yeah. So before I dive into the tech itself, I wanted to give you a bit of history, which to me really adds perspective to the world of AI and might alleviate any anxiety you have around it. So if we skip back in time, the invention of writing and the printing press led to a flowering of science, literature, and arts, which are all amazing things that we truly appreciate now. However, people are oftentimes skeptical of such new inventions. So let me pose the question to you. Might machine understanding of language be in the same realm? There's a really good quote from a book called The Writing of the Gods, The Race to Decode the Rosetta Stone. And if you look it up later, it's by Edward Dolnick. And it tells the story of the invention of writing, the first symbols that humans invented to represent sounds. It's a super profound development. And to roughly quote from the book, the first writing must have come as a surprise and even a shock. People had to stop and wonder what this new thing could be, how it worked, and what it was good for. This was kind of seen as the birth of the modern world, and what we rarely realize is what kind of made possible for us. We can pop into the next slide. And let's skip back to more recent times. So we're in this new era. Every 10 to 15 years, humans' interaction with computers is fundamentally and irreversibly transformed. So we started off with kind of this big, bulky Mac computer back in the day, eventually progressed to kind of the first web browser, Mosaic, and then eventually onto the iPhone and these snazzy new things called apps, which were like mind-blowing. But what's the next big thing? And what I think, and a lot of people kind of in this field think, is that NLP, natural language processing, is the next big thing is the big thing. And that kind of includes ChatGPT. So if we pop onto the next slide, there's just a little article there as well about kind of ChatGPT and how it's kind of reshaping how we interact with computers. So if we pop onto the next slide, you're sitting here thinking, great, thanks for the history lesson. That's all very well and good. But how can you leverage this kind of tech as an EA? So the biggest model out there right now is ChatGPT, which you may or may not have heard of. There's a lot of hype around it. It was released at the end of last year by OpenAI, and it's what is known as a conversational chat model or a chatbot. The models generate conversational text that is relevant, coherent, and knowledgeable given a prompt, the prompt being whatever you type into the chatbot. It's the same type of tech that's used in voice assistants. So think about your Google Home, your Alexa, your Siri on your phone. Conversational AI works mainly in two parts. So machine learning and NLP. Machine learning means that the technology learns and improves the more it's used. It collects information from its own interactions, and then it uses that information to improve itself as time goes by. The result is a system that works better a few months after you kicked it off, and even better than that a year down the line. The second is called natural language processing, or NLP for short. You might sometimes see the acronym for neuro-linguistic programming, but we're talking about a totally different thing here. So this is the process through which artificial intelligence understands language. Once it learns to recognize words and phrases, it can move on to the natural language generation, so creating language. And this is how it talks conversationally. So, for example, if we took a chatbot on a shopping site, a customer might message asking for information on the delivery of an order, and then the conversational chatbot will know how to respond. And it will do this based on prior experience answering similar questions because it understands which phrases tend to work best in response to these types of questions. This isn't a crazy new piece of tech. You'll have been able to find it on websites, online stores, social media channels for years now. And the AI tech is used here to speed up and streamline you. So it's here to help you. If we move on to the next slide. So what can I use it for? So if we're thinking in the context of ChatGPT, and shortly I'll sort of show you a couple of actual examples, but it's really, really great. Well, the overarching theme here is that you can use it to save time, which is great when you've got 1,000 things to do as an EA. It's also great to create things that you're not kind of a subject matter expert on, but I would definitely do this with caution. So one of the things that you can use it for is content creation. So drafting emails, blogs, social postings, it can really do like a whole range of different things. So for example, on email, you can give the model information such as the subject of the email, sort of a few bits of key information, and then the model can generate a response specific to the prompt. And the model can be trained on your past emails and responses, and it will improve its ability over time. So when you sign up to ChatGPT, you'll have your own profile and it'll be kind of learning on that, engaging with kind of the information that you provide it and learning on that over time. Another thing you can use it for is consolidating information. So running through transcripts, meeting notes. You can also use it for planning travel, helping to create itineraries, looking at accommodation options, all of that type of thing. idea generation and research. So you're thinking about your execs going to a brand new city and you want to find out a bit of information about it. So they're going to New York. I want to find out the best restaurants for fresh fish there. And you can type that in and get some really good responses. Another thing it's really good for is data entry and also generating reports as well. A couple of words of caution here, though. Always proofread. It can sometimes the model can spit out some very interesting responses, and also can spit out outdated information and also sometimes toxic content. So toxic content might be, let's say, it's International Women's Day, so maybe a not sort of a gender equitable response. What you can do there is flag that to OpenAI. There's like a thumbs up, thumbs down piece on their on ChatGPT, and you can just report things there. It's a model, it's learning all the time. Your feedback's going to help it. Yeah, so if we move into the next slide, there are a couple of examples here that I typed in earlier. Super easy to sign up to ChatGPT. You have to enter a bit of information on yourself, such as your phone number and your email address. But if you're happy sharing that with OpenAI, you have access to all these different things. So it is basically just typing in a query, a prompt in here. So for me, earlier, I was like, I want to write an email in a corporate tone, letting staff know there's been changes to their working schedules. And it's super cool. You watch it and it kind of types this up in like real time, almost as someone is typing something back to you. And it creates a very comprehensive email back. Also, for the idea generation on the other side, I wanted to find out about work social for 10 people in London. This is like just a snippet of the response. I'm not kidding you. It went on for ages. And this was great because sometimes my mind is just like, I can't think of anything right now. I'm brain dead. I want someone else to help me out. And this is like a great, great resource for that and can come up with a bunch of different responses. So yeah, these are just a couple of examples. I will say, so people wondering, is ChatGPT going to take over the world? No, probably not. I think it's going to be here to like help us and work hand in hand with the assistant profession. Our role is very much about knowing your lead, really about like human touch, personalized approach, and really kind of, I think ChatGPT will be like the differentiator between like a good and a great assistant. If you can use this to your advantage, then brilliant. Like you can use this to kind of optimize, save time, and is a really great resource. I've talked for a really long time, just a little bit about Cohere. We also have a platform very much like ChatGPT, slightly different, but you can sign up to this for free as well. I will send a link after to share with Jeremy. And again, it kind of spits out information very much in the form like ChatGPT.
Awesome.
Brilliant.
Thank you, Naomi. Thanks. Yeah, it's fun because, you know, I work for an artificial intelligence support automation company called Capacity, and we've been building a natural language processing bot since, you know, the end of 2016, really. We launched in January of 2017. And so I've been kind of soaked in this world of natural language processing, language models, all that stuff for the past 6+ years. And now everybody is all gung-ho talking about ChatGPT. And like, this isn't really a new thing. It's just a pretty large language model, like you mentioned, that has done a really good job of being practical. But there are certain things, and there's a couple people, we'll open it up for questions. There's a couple people in the chat that said, you know, how confidential can it be if I'm entering private information? And since it's not connected to the internet, how do we account for the most current data and feedback? These are great questions. I think one thing that you're seeing is, you know, we've even had, you know, security teams say, hey, you're not allowed to put client data into ChatGPT because it's a security risk. And so there's certain things you have to be, like you mentioned, to just to be cautious about. But I think that if you're looking for general things like like the examples you showed about London. You've got a work event with people in London. What are some good ideas? Or if you're trying to just draft an email about X and Y, and then you want to customize that and take that as a step one to customize to your own private company information internally. That's a great way to have, instead of staring at a blank screen, you can stare at a draft. That's actually pretty helpful. So anyway, what are your thoughts on those couple of comments there about confidential information and how do we account for the most current data and all that?
Are you ready to elevate your career in 2024? I'm Maggie Olson, founder of Nova Chief of Staff Certification, the first of its kind online course for aspiring and existing chiefs of staff. With curriculum taken directly from on-the-job responsibilities, Nova's self-paced learning modules provides you with hands-on experience so you can feel competent and confident moving into a chief of staff style role. It's the perfect next step for executive assistants. Head to leaderassistant.com/Nova to learn more, grab the syllabus, and enroll today.
Yeah, so I think first part, focusing kind of the security aspect of things, obviously input anything you feel comfortable with. If it's something that you don't feel comfortable sharing, again, you're sharing it with a company that will be using your data to train. So just bear that in mind. And like Jeremy said, if you can use it for more of a general thing, or like for example, for an email draft that you can get away with providing kind of minimal information that you can edit afterwards, you're having kind of this draft response that you can edit. You've got kind of the base to kind of get you thinking. That's at least saved you some time there. So just use it at your own discretion. I think in terms of the information being up to date, again, it's a language model that is trained kind of on data up until about 2021. So some things will be outdated. However, you might have heard some of kind of the hype around this Bing chat piece of the that they've also brought out. There's a waiting list that you can sign up for access to it. And that the intention there is to have a conversation with the internet search. So it will be able to pull more recent information, but that will kind of maybe be not quite the same as ChatGPT and not be able to have kind of the same capabilities. So yeah, obviously bear that in mind when you are asking for more kind of like recent information. Like if you're asking it for, like, let's just say the Prime Minister in the UK changed yesterday, ChatGPT probably won't be able to tell me the information. Again, use it at your own discretion. Just bear that in mind. Just be really cautious around kind of if you're then using it kind of, in like a company-wide forum.
Yeah, and Tara has a question about a similar note about, you know, seeing ChatGPT and AI touted as a good way to kind of clean up rough notes into something more finished. What I've seen in those situations, and we do a lot of intelligent document processing or IDP at capacity, and, you know, you can take out the personally identifiable information before, you know, we've got your templates and you've got your kind of general forms, and you can take out the PII and still get a lot of helpful, extract data from it and help build out different models. And then I think the other thought is, you know, something that we're trying to do at capacity in particular is, you know, we don't send any of our customers' data out to ChatGPT or OpenAI or whatever. And we have our own language models internally that we've built out over the last 6-7 years. And some of them are based on, you know, there's some of the stuff that we've done and we've trained with our own data. There's stuff that we've used on that's open source, but all of that data that gets kind of put into that model is not sent out to a third party. And so there's certain companies that do send it out to a third party, and then there's certain tools that don't. And so you just have to be really careful and make sure that you're doing your homework. I did appreciate your slide, Naomi, with the history. I love that it started in 1984. That's the year I was born. So I'm not as advanced as an NLP, but some days I like to pretend. Is anybody? Oh, here we go. Dana has a question. In terms of travel, does it integrate with booking tools?
I am not personally aware of companies that have used ChatGPT to integrate with booking tools, but I imagine that's something that will come very, very soon. There are plenty of companies that are kind of working using kind of the ChatGPT platform to be able to provide services. So I definitely kind of, keep a lookout for that.
Yeah. And I think that more and more you're seeing in the news every day, you know, there's a company called Intercom. We have ChatGPT integrated into our support tool. And then Drift came out with something this week, same deal. And then, you know, Microsoft investing in OpenAI and all this. It's like all these, and then Salesforce just came out with something about having essentially the OpenAI or the ChatGPT, NLP, whatever, built into their tool so that sales team members can have basically AI suggest ways to respond during sales calls or to respond to emails. And then I think that Terry has a good question. What's been your most satisfying unexpected result with AI? Naomi, do you have any interesting use cases that you're like, oh man, that saved me a lot of time, other than the examples you shared?
This is a really good question, actually. I'm trying to think. I think I'm going to answer this question in two parts. Something that we do at Cohere is a lot of kind of annotation and input ourselves in the language models. That we love to play around with them, no matter like who you are, if you're a machine learning engineer or if you're a member of like recruitment staff, and just generally seeing the models improve over like the space of like a couple of weeks. We had this kind of like big challenge over the holiday period at the end of last year, like training the model, like asking it to generate various different things. Sometimes it would spit out some very interesting and kind of quite funny responses, but kind of going on it, let's say like 2 weeks later, and you've got like a much more coherent, like for example, generating like a poem, which I think is just a really fun one, because I'm like, oh, like you just don't think of AI to be like that creative. And when it comes up with a really cool response, you're like, great. So that's kind of maybe one part of it. Something that I am also super impressed with is a tool called Reclaim. And you can input things that you need to do in your calendar. And the two leads that I work with at Cohere use it. And it basically drops things into their calendar. I'm always consistent. There are certain gripes I do have with it, and I don't think it's not at the level of an assistant. But sometimes where it can kind of specify in the calendar, like, this is where you should be like doing exercise in your day or whatever. And it can recognize a really good timing for it, even though it's not kind of given a specified slot. That can be really kind of, it kind of blows my mind.
Hmm. Yeah. I'd say my kind of wow use case is with my podcast. So there's a company, I think it's called, I don't even remember what it's called, maybe swell.ai or something. Have to look it up, but basically I can upload my podcast audio file, and it used to be where I'd have to spend about $1 to $2 per minute just to transcribe my podcast episodes, which is why I don't have full transcripts of my 200 plus episodes on my website, because that's a lot of money. And now there's this tool, and I can upload the file. It'll spit out a transcript, AI generated, so it's not as clean as some of these other transcript tools where there's an actual human going through and cleaning it up, but it'll spit out a transcript in a matter of seconds. And then it'll also spit out a blog post based on the episode, based on my podcast episode. And then it'll also have social media posts, like a LinkedIn post based on that episode. And then it'll have a little timestamp outline. And I mean, it's just crazy. All the stuff that used to take a few hours at least to do for each episode, I can now do several episodes in a matter of minutes. And it's just pretty fascinating how these AI tools are So anyway, that's great. Thank you so much again, Naomi. I know we're out of time. Appreciate you taking time to share your journey with language models. And I know it was interesting and helpful, and it's always good for us assistants to be curious about all the new latest technology as we go about our careers and try to level up. So thank you everyone for joining. Hope you have a great rest of your Wednesday. Thanks again, Naomi. And hope you have a good night's sleep.
Thank you.
Thanks everyone. Have a good one.
Please review on Apple Podcasts. GoBullos.com.